RNN.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means.
Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel.
Tonight's featured show is Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. Welcome to the Republic News Network for our live national broadcast. You may call me Kelby, and tonight I'm going to be acting as your moderator. The RNN, which stands for the Republic News Network, has been doing this radio show since 2010, and it's always been a friendly introduction for the people of the United States Corporation. Here we go. It's true. The United States is a federal corporation, and their exclusive jurisdiction is in the District of Columbia. The Republic government was simply a bunch of U.S. citizens that, in law, don't have access to the Bill of Rights. And they realized they wanted to be Americans, as our founders and our law provided each and every one of us. See, we've been hard at work since 2008, and since 2010, we have successfully re-inhabited the original government vacated under Lincoln in 1861. I know, it's hard to understand. Don't worry. We are law-abiding, peaceful Americans and very pro-government, and we love our country. You can consider the Republic members are tired of the corruption that we see every day. See, we found in the law that there is two forms of government here on the land, and we did something about it. We are people. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, we have families just like you. We simply found some truths, and now we're sharing these important truths with the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound amazing, and get ready to understand that you too are about to be a part of history. We welcome each one of you to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel and your Republic, if you so choose. But before we go into our broadcast tonight, please bow your head in prayer.
Lord, we just want to thank you so much for this opportunity to pray openly and publicly, and we ask that you just bless the host and the guest of this show, and we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Mr. Happel, I yield the floor to you.
Well, thank you, Kelby. Tonight we have a return of two guests that we've had on several other times who are part of the Trump, let's say, national security apparatus, and they are Bruce Moran and Chuck Floyd. And Bruce and Chuck have talked to our listeners before about border security, about national security issues, and tonight we are going to be dealing on the subject of the deep state, the FISA reports, some of the things that have come out with DACA and the immigration policies, and how President Trump is being forced to deal with these issues in spite of the fact that he's got a very hostile group of people in Washington that are part of the swamp and are doing everything in their power to make sure that he doesn't get that swamp drained. With that, I'd like to introduce Bruce Moran and Chuck Floyd. Bruce, maybe if you'd give a little information on you and your background, and then we'll turn it over to Chuck for his background.
Sure. I'm a senior national security advisor. I'm working with Security Solutions Technology. We work on a whole host of issues, border security, cybersecurity. As you're talking about the deep state, we are working on various issues and concerns, very deep concerns about FISA, FISA warrants. We do various sundry work with the committees in the Senate and the House, and that's a short synopsis. I can go on for another 4 minutes, but that would be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. And Chuck, maybe give our listeners a little of your background as well, please.
Sure. I'm a retired U.S. Army officer. I was a political appointee for President Bush at the U.S. Department of State. I'm supposed to be going in to the State Department again under President Trump very soon, depends on when Mitch McConnell will vote certain friends of mine out so they can get there, and then I'll be coming in to work with them. And then I've been a federal contractor for the last 15 years, bidding on a lot of federal contracts. I know the industry. I know the federal acquisition regulation, and you know how the government works. We track the money from the U.S. Congress all the way down to each project or appropriation. So we have a very good understanding of what the sea is, the swamp, and what goes on.
Okay, good. I know that you wanted to start this discussion with a quote, and so I'll give you the opportunity to give our listeners that quote, and we'll start with that.
Okay, I appreciate that. We're going to be talking about the deep state first. So they pride themselves on operating below the radar and above the law. Working primarily through the intelligent law enforcement agencies, the deep state is actively engaged in subversive measures designated to delegitimize Donald Trump. And this is from Judicial Watch President Tom Fenton, who's a friend of mine. And if you look recently at some of the emails and texts and other things that have been going on from Obama's National Security Advisor and his team, you'll find that Obama and his team met on January the 5th, and they talked about the deep state, how they could delegitimize Donald Trump's presidency by actions that they could take prior to leaving office. And then once they left office, that it would continue. And you see that exact plan in place with Mueller's investigative team and all of the corruption around that, and how Hillary Clinton, Obama, and the DNC planned the Steele dossier and all the corruption charges against President Trump, and how they used the FISA against certain people associated with President Trump, and also you're going to find out that the unmasking of people were a result of this FISA information that was corrupt.
Okay, good. Now, let me ask this question. First of all, what about the FISA report? I know there are a lot of different versions of what FISA really is, but I know, Bruce, you had indicated you wanted to really get into what the FISA report is based on, what it's supposed to be based on, and then let's talk about how many warrants were issued against Trump and his family.
That is correct. FISA is basically used for espionage and terrorism. Now, if you draw a wider net, it could be used for foreign intelligence gathering and those who are dealing with agents. What we're looking at is a basis for collusion, which never shows up on the radar. Yeah. As Mueller had started his investigation, he brought in various people from the Trump campaign and the Trump administration. Currently, we're looking at Steve Bannon being investigated, and they had a big go around today or yesterday, so you'll see that in the news. What we're looking at is what they're doing, how they're doing it, and how is it working according to the initial FISA jurisdiction plans with the court. I don't see it following the strict adherence to it, and what Chuck was saying, how did they get the issue of the warrants, who was part of the warrant, who confirmed it. In other words, we're looking at who in the Justice Department, the FBI, and other agencies were part of it in order to make sure that the warrant was clear. And what Chuck had stated earlier, the dossier was part of that lineup to show that there were certain facts that could be based on Russian collusion. But as you saw with different parts of the dossier, it proved out to be false. And then had a lot of discrepancies where we're looking at, well, if this is false, the dossier is false, what else is false?
Mm-hmm.
And then who had issued the FISA warrants? And who else was included? Did it include Donald Trump? Did it include Ivanka Trump? Did it include Jared Kushner? Did it include Kellyanne Conway? That we don't know. And I think that should be out there, and people should be aware that were other people brought into this larger net of Russian collusion, which they purported to be, which didn't exist, and how are they going to deal with that? I mean, the House and the Senate, the committees, had not gone directly to see what were the FISA warrants for that year. What did they entail, and who approved them, and to what degree did they have information backing up to substantiate a FISA warrant?
Bruce, for the audience, when we say FISA, we're talking about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, which is Public Law 95-511. And this establishes procedures for the physical and electronic surveillance and collection of foreign intelligence information between foreign powers and agents of foreign powers suspected of espionage or terrorism. And so this really came into effect after 9/11 because President Bush at that time had NSA and others going out and getting information. And so a lot of people wanted to curtail that. And so the act created the FISA to oversee requests for surveillance warrants by federal law enforcement officers, intelligence agencies. And under the Obama administration, it has been abused.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the fact that it was always intended to be foreign powers and agents of foreign powers, I mean, we've certainly expanded way beyond that, and that is what, you know, the language of the act is all about. Let me ask you this. I read recently that Barack Obama, and this was in August 28th of 2016, Obama requested of Theresa May that British intelligence start spying on Trump. And there was no warrant or court order with that. It was just a request by Obama, and that was called Project Folsom. And
yes.
Apparently then it was renewed by Susan Rice after President Trump was actually elected president, but before he took his oath and became president. It was in the transition period. And she renewed it, saying that they needed to keep this on. There was absolutely no warrant, no court order, or anything else. And how in the world did they get away with that?
But they could, they got away with it, and they planned it because they never intended for Donald Trump to win the presidency. And so it was all going to be covered up, and nobody would ever know it. And so, you know, one of the key factors of the FISA court is that it meets in secret, and it approves these requests with only one side being discussed. And so if there is any kind of adverse information that the government does not want the FISA court to know, they don't tell them. And so, you know, the judge at the FISA court only gets one side, and that's it. And so to me, a lot of the lawyers, especially Comey, McCabe, and all these other guys that were involved with the FISA warrants and documentations, they should lose their law license, and they should be going to jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And the basis for the FISA warrants that were issued was a report, kind of a phony report by Christopher Steele, who was a prior British Secret Service agent, and he was under the direct pay of the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. How in the world can they justify a a warrant to literally an open-ended warrant to get into all this personal information and lie so completely about the source of that that FISA report?
Well, yeah, the reason why they did it is because they never thought Donald Trump was going to win, and so they thought it would all be covered up. And if you look at the email that Susan Rice sent to herself the day that President Trump was inaugurated a little over a year ago, you know, she is saying, oh, we met and Obama told us to do everything, in quotations, by the book. Well, she's covering her ass. And so we know what they were talking about, and it wasn't going doing everything by the books. It was covering everything up.
Right, right.
Well, what we're talking about is that the Foreign Intelligence and Surveillance System has faults, and I look at it as a national security constitutional crisis because it's being used for other purposes than intended. And what we're looking at is what we were initially talking about is a deep state, but not only the deep state, but we're looking at another government underneath the deep state, which would be, when I worked on the Afghanistan project, they had the Taliban, and they're running things under Karzai. They call it the shadow government. So we have something like the shadow government being run here in the United States, which runs parallel to what we're doing with the Trump administration. And then Chuck can weigh in on that, because we have, you know, friends of ours that are going to be appointed, and they haven't been appointed. So maybe Chuck can raise some issues about that and concerns.
Yeah. You know, I want to make sure all your listeners understand that the deep state is comprised of Republicans, Democrats, and independents. And, you know, it takes a businessman, somebody like Donald Trump, who's not a politician and is not from the D.C. area, to know the difference and say and look at how to drain the swamp. He's having a heck of a time draining the swamp, and it's going to take him his entire presidency to turn things around. And so, the deep state operatives are in constant every agency of the government, and they have their own agendas, and many of them think that they do not have to answer to an elected president or any of his political appointees. An example is a friend of mine is a political appointee at USAID. And so with very limited political appointees there, the federal employees, the senior federal employees, just like at the FBI and DOJ, they misinform him on date and time of meeting. They don't give him the information that he needs to make decisions. I mean, they hide stuff from him. And so it's really critical that President Trump get his political appointees in throughout the federal government. And right now, Senator Mitch McConnell is not doing his job in pushing through all of President Trump's political appointees. And I can talk about that for 10 minutes as far as some of the things that he needs to be doing.
We have the same
problem.
Yeah,
I think, guys, we recognize that the deep state is progressives of both parties. And by progressive, I mean progressive socialists. They don't believe in the United States of America as a constitutional republic. They believe that they should be able to manipulate things in ways that they can have an outcome that they desire. And so anyway, with that, go ahead. Bruce, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But
I look at it in the same way, but also look at it as the big special interest with money powers to control the way policy is being handled in each of the departments and agencies. So we have the interagency apparatus, which is being usurped. As you see President Trump starting to change the interagency rules and regs, it's starting to dismantle part of the swamp. But you're not dismantling the swamp until you get your political appointees in there. That's what Chuck is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can only do so much, and then you still got to deal with the actual, how we would call it, tactical operations, and things get operationally done. And they're not getting operationally done because he's getting pushback from every which direction. And we know that for sure, and we've seen that happen. Our team works in several areas. Chuck was talking about USAID. USAID is an arm of the Department of State. We saw it happen in the Justice Department. So I mean, the pushback is coming from everywhere, and you have it happening in commerce and, you know, different areas where you wouldn't think that what we consider deep state or special interests, because there's a lot of money involved. We're not talking about millions of dollars. We're talking about billions and billions of dollars that have been set in place for years, and you're upsetting the apple cart. And when you have a businessman come in, like President Trump, and he wants to change things around, they're not understanding that, because they have their own agenda at hand, and they'll take care of it first. President Trump is more like on the sidelines when it comes to that particular issue we call the deep state or special interest or the establishment. I mean, those are all kind of the same words, but you still have people who are not following the president's executive orders, the president's mandates, trying to secure the border. You have other judges rearing their heads that are liberal, that are stopping parts of his immigration policy. They, you know, it's across the board. So he's fighting tooth and nail to make sure he can do the best he can. But like Chuck was saying, the bottom line is you got to get people in there to help him out. You need the cavalry. You know, we're part of the cavalry to come in and help him out. So we're basically watching the fight, but we're watching it, you know, from a distance. And we're seeing what's going on, but you can't do anything until you're in there and help out.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, go ahead, Chuck. I'm sorry.
But one of the key points that I'd like to point out with the deep state is that they have a friend, and that friend is called the media. And the media helps the deep state with their job, because they don't want to change. They want things to remain the same in Washington, D.C. That's why Trump is such a threat to the media, and they go after him every day.
Absolutely. And I want to add to that that statement that really what these people want is one world socialist government, and they intended to have that fully in place by the time that Hillary Clinton had been in 4 years on top of the 8 years of the Barack Obama presidency. They felt that we would be in our one world government. And I don't have any doubt of that, because they've been very outspoken about global government and social justice and all these things that come straight out of the communist manifesto.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the more the Senate and the House committees probe, and the more that Fox and other news organizations probe, you're going to find that the Obama administration officials were up to all kinds of sorts of illegal activities because they thought they would never get caught. You know, and so it's going to take somebody like President Trump to tear down the wall of secrecy surrounding the deep state. And one of the things he needs to do is to make sure that they start obeying the nation's open records laws. And so FOIA requests and other things have to be handled correctly. You look at the FOIA request under Obama, under his administration, and Judicial Watch was trying to get information on Clinton emails. Even the Congress was trying to get information, and they got stonewalled by the Obama administration at every turn. And so the open records laws have to be abided by, and President Trump should be pushing that. And I have all kinds of examples of, you know, how that has been just disintegrated under Obama, from agencies not providing documents to Congress, to the DOJ would not release documents on Fast and Furious, where an agent died, yet the media is going after this Rob Porter for domestic violence. You know? And so you look at, you know, they did not even go after the IRS by the emails or texts to document the Tea Party abuse. You look at Benghazi. You look at the meeting on the tarmac with Clinton and Lynch. They didn't care about that. And, and so it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, the media is not really concerned about the DNC and Clinton paying for the Trump dossier. They just want to have an issue with Russia, 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 and try to say Trump is not a legitimate president.
And one thing we could look at, and while we're talking about Russia, is the CFIUS process, the Uranium One, that was
right.
dealing with the Russian nuclear agency. And was there any FISA warrant issued at that time? Was there any concern about spying mm-hmm. and espionage and selling yellow cake to the Russians going through Canada? That's the question
right.
I have. I mean,
yeah,
we should go back
it's...
and have an investigation of the FISA warrants. And was there any really reason not to have a FISA warrant issued when Russia was trying to buy yellow cake? And,
right, well,
and
Port Canaveral and all the other things that were done during the Obama administration that were given a free pass. And the CFIUS process, you're absolutely right. None of that stuff would have passed muster in a normal administration.
Yeah, and the CFIUS process can be overruled by a presidential, you know, decision. But we
right.
had, you know, several people involved with it at the time. And we're looking at
mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton, you know, Barbara Boxer, Timothy Geithner, because Timothy Geithner headed up the CFIUS process. He has to go through the Treasury Department. And, John Kerry was the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and Carl Levin was chairman of the Armed Services Committee. So we
mm-hmm.
had people in there at that time when they were dealing with the Russians, but the Russians were no problem.
Yeah, yeah, Jack Lew.
The Russians proved to be good partners when the Democratic Party was running the show, but once the Trump administration started to take hold, and now I have two lines of demarcation, and one line of demarcation is with the FISA warrants was before he was elected and after. And before he's elected, it didn't seem it held any water because of the amount of capability that the power was vested into the previous administration. And then after he was elected, then that's what Chuck and I have been talking about. That's what you've been talking about, the swamp, the deep state, the establishment, all these different terms for bringing together a cohesive government of transparency was not there. Because he's fighting tooth and nail, President Trump is fighting tooth and nail to get ahead and try to stay above the swamp because they're trying to pull everybody in. So my point is the FISA warrants, and that should be investigated and it should be taken a closer look at about the constitutionality of how this all comes down. I consider that a constitutionality crisis, you know,
mm-hmm.
a national security constitutional crisis. It has a mm-hmm. lot to do with who's doing what, when, and where, and it's not espionage we looked at. It's not terrorism we looked at. And that's our specialty, counterterrorism. What are we looking at? Collusion with the Russians in election? I mean, you can say these things, but, I mean, on the face, it really doesn't hold any water because of those types of remarks in a court of law don't hold any weight. But in terms of the media, you know, in terms of a party that wants to support those efforts, they want to continue this so it keeps the hot, I would call it the hot coals off of them. So
mm-hmm.
what Chuck is saying, it's turning the corner and much more is being disclosed and discovered about what actually happened, who did what, when, where, to, and why, to what extent, and how it's going to be handled from there on in once the House and the Senate start, you know, proceeding on other matters of great national security importance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing we need to do is we need to expose the level of corruption that was being used against President Trump before he was elected. I mean, they hated him because he's a populist president and people liked his message of America first. And they are trying, they've been doing their very level best to try to delegitimize his government and try to return to this process where literally they can keep pumping more you-know-what into the swamp.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, Mueller was involved with the uranium deal. He is part of the swamp. And also the number two guy at DOJ right now who's managing Mueller is his longtime buddy, friend, and he's part of the swamp, and he was part of the FISA applications and everything else. It's a wonder that he hadn't been fired. I mean, the whole DOJ and FBI leadership was so politically tainted, it's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're right on the money. And I'm going to ask you this because you know a lot more of the rank and file, Justice Department, FBI, those sort of people, because you're out there in the D.C. area. But I have heard from friends who are pretty well connected with the intelligence community that the rank and file are absolutely livid about what has happened against President Trump and the kind of collusion at the very top. How do we ferret out the truth on this stuff? How do we get the people that were responsible and how do the rank and file, how can they help to open that whole information corridor?
You're absolutely right. When I talk to people on that, livid is a kind word. They're outraged. And because we have to understand the people in the field are doing covert operations and they can be compromised. And this is all across the board. It's not just the FBI. It's ATF. It's border security. You got a lot of people out there doing covert operations, the CIA. And if this is going on, a lot of the stuff they need to do may not be getting done in a kind of a procedural work. Tactical operations may be compromised. So people don't understand that part of it. That's rank and file. There are the people going out there and actually, you know, doing the work like we talked about with the FISA. That's the espionage work you need done. You have to work undercover. And those are rank and file people, and they got their own supervisors and, you know, heads of their departments. But once it comes into what we were talking about, the politicalization of the weaponization of FISA or any of the, you know, departments and agencies and their rules and procedures, then you're sacrificing people and their jobs because rank and file can't really do what they need to do. And that's one of the discussions I had with a friend of mine, and that's the bottom line because the people actually doing the job are not the people making decisions.
Right.
You know, your question is, you know, how do we know? Well, it's several ways that we can know. You know, again, people need to remember that the House and the Senate can only do investigative kind of things. They cannot bring any charges against anybody because that's not their purview. They can only do oversight and do investigations. That's the DOJ. Department, you know, FBI, those kind of agencies that can bring criminal charges against someone. And so you would need people inside the agency, you know, leak things, or people, you know, organizations like Heritage, Judicial Watch, and others do FOIA requests and get the information. If it hadn't been for Judicial Watch doing FOIA requests on Clinton's emails, even Congress wouldn't know what was going on. And, you know, why would the FBI and DOJ give Clinton an interview and it was friendly interview? They didn't, you know, swear her in or anything else. They never gave any of her colleagues any kind of treatment like they did General Flynn. And so they gave them nothing. And then what they did with their devices, they destroyed them. You know, so it's no evidence. And so, you know, this whole thing with the Clinton emails, I mean, it was cooked up from the very start that nothing was going to happen. They were going to protect her and all her people from Cheryl Mills, all of them. You know, they gave them protection and did not go after them like they would in a criminal investigation. And so we need people inside the agencies and organizations do FOIA requests and get the information for the public, and we need Congress to do its job on oversight.
Well, and those appointments that you're talking about that President Trump, it's ridiculous. He's been in office for over a year and is still waiting on all these important appointments to different posts that he's trying to fill. And what is the rationale for all the delays in moving his people into the positions that he's needed to get his policies through?
Well, yeah, the Democrats are fighting him tooth and nail. They're delaying everything as much as they can. And believe it or not, the Republicans in charge of the committee and even the Senate leader are not pushing things through. I mean, it is just unbelievable that they would, you know, not push things through for the president. And, you know, right now the Senate rules need to be changed. The Senate rules saying that each nominee has up to 30 hours to get them through the committee. Then once it's through the committee, then they got to be voted on it at the committee to get them out of committee. And then they got to be voted on by the full Senate. And so if you take 1 hour a week, you can delay this stuff by 30 weeks or longer. And then so you know, Mitch McConnell has got to change the policies and the rules of the Senate, say, okay, if you were going to give them 30 hours, today starts hour one, within 30 straight hours, you got to do your thing. And then he needs to be able to have a time limit on once they're at a committee that the Senate votes on them. And so, you know, I have friends that have been in the pipeline for a year, and they still haven't been voted on in the Senate to get them out to the State Department, DOD. I mean, you look at the deputy OMB, she was just voted on yesterday, and she's been working there as a temporary acting for a year. And so, I mean, it's just ridiculous that all this stuff, you know, goes on. And one of the things that is really focused on is that even though the Democrats and Republicans have been delaying the nominations, the Democrats are now having some of their organizations sue the Trump administration because they're not getting the people in early enough. And there's a law that says that political appointees have to be in place for the president to implement his policies. It's called the Federal Vacancy Reform Act. And so these liberal groups are now suing the Trump administration, saying that organizations such as the Department of Interior, who have had some acting people there for now over a year, that anything that they've been involved with, policies or whatever, are now void because of this Federal Vacancy Reform Act. And so the Democrats are hitting Trump, his political appointees, by delaying them in the Senate and then suing the Trump administration because he can't act fast enough.
Right. Yeah. Double jeopardy. They're causing the problem and then turning around and suing him because they've got a problem.
Yes.
Yes. That's very frustrating in a lot of ways because the programs that need to be instituted in place are not being fully operationalized, and that's what we've been talking about. So it's a problem. It's interagency. That's what I talked about earlier, and it's incredible that the United States government and the Congress and the presidency isn't working. That's what I'm saying. It's a national security constitutional crisis because he's supposed to be the president and he's supposed to be getting what he needs done according to, you know, being the president and his mandates. And they're fighting tooth and nail just every step of the way.
In Congress, there is no sense of urgency for anything except DACA people. That's the only thing that members of Congress are really anxious and urgent about is all these DACA people who are here illegally. And so there's
right.
no urgency of getting political appointees through, no urgency on border security, no urgency on the debt ceiling, no urgency or anything else. I mean, it's just amazing that, you know, they campaign out in their own states and say what they're going to do. They come to D.C. and they lose everything, can't get anything done.
So yeah. what yeah. one of the strategies is to keep pushing this until midterms, and they're thinking they want to get more seats in the House and Senate. So that's one of the strategies to keep this deep state, what we call it, establishment, going, because it gives them time and keep their people in place and keeps Trump on edge. And Trump can't, mm-hmm. like I say, institute his policy and programs. It's
right.
a you know, it's only 2 years. So he's been in office 1 year in a month or so, and now the political appointees haven't been in. And
mm-hmm.
they're acting, and they're complaining about it. And it's like Chuck was saying, it's a double-edged sword, and it's a no-win situation unless people start coming in and helping out. Like I say, we're the cavalry, and the cavalry's sitting on the sidelines watching the battle. You know, we're in the Battle of Midway, and we didn't bring in our battleships, you know.
right.
Let's talk about the budget and how the budget will –
Okay, yeah, well, good. Let's do that.
The deep state and how President Trump can use the budget to move forward. You know, as your listeners know, the president just, you know, passed the tax reform bill. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of young adults who have gotten out of college and are, you know, have entry-level jobs and are just barely making it. And they're saying, hey, I see an increase in my paycheck of 75 or 100 bucks for every 2 weeks, and that's going to make a big difference. So, you know, the president's tax reform bill, which Mitch McConnell and others pushed through, and I congratulate them on that. That's one of the better things they've done. And so that's going to make a real difference. And the president's budget was just passed for a two-year cycle. Now, people are wondering, well, why does he want to do a two-year cycle when the budget is normally a year? So I'd like to make a prediction on why President Trump wanted a two-year budget deal. I think he wanted a two-year budget deal because he wants to get the appropriation so there is not a government shutdown over the next 2 years. Therefore, he can direct each U.S. government agency not to spend the appropriated funds because he has that choice. And this gives them the opportunity to make reductions in welfare and other government mandatory programs and trying to limit the spending. Because right now, 40% of the budget is for mandatory items, you know, such as Medicare and Social Security. All these third field items have to be looked at. You know, right now we're heading to $21 trillion in debt, and the U.S. cannot sustain that even with the budget cut and, you know, more money coming to the Treasury. And so I think President Trump did a great job in getting a two-year budget deal put together so that he can go forth over the next 2 years to help reduce the debt and get the budgets in line, because every agency throughout the federal government can be cut 20% and nobody would ever miss it.
Right. Absolutely. I look at the DOD in the perfect example, because here we don't have fuel for and replacement parts for fighter planes and all the other things that are going on.
Right, yeah, they're cannibalizing them to make sure that they can keep the old jets flying, you know.
Right, exactly. But yet they've got an enormous civilian payroll for all the civilian workers that work at DOD. And
yep.
People don't realize just exactly how much bureaucracy is a part of the Department of Defense and how little actually is used for defense.
There are two items that the federal government could look at and save probably $700 billion a year. Those two items alone. One is waste, fraud, and abuse, which is documented by GAO reports, and the other is $300 billion a year in social services and other cost of illegal immigrants.
Yeah. I mean, that's a travesty, and I do want to get into the immigration issue in DACA because I hate to say it, but we're going to run out of time, and I want to make sure that we get a lot of these things covered.
I was talking to Chuck before we went on. He said, well, we can talk for 2 or 3 hours, so I hope we can satisfy
you. Well, we'll just have to have you guys. We'll just have to have you guys back on. It's just as simple as that. But let's talk about DACA and the immigration issue, because that is right now being, as you say, it's being shepherded as a PR deal to try to destroy President Trump. And he's handled it quite well. But the thing is, people need to realize that this immigration issue is so much bigger than the little soundbite nonsense that you hear from the other side.
Yeah. You know, ICE or DHS just published some statistics today. 74% of all illegal alien arrests by ICE in fiscal year 2017 had criminal convictions. And so, for an example, severe traffic offenses, DUI, over 80,000. Dangerous drugs, 76,000. Traffic offenses, just normal, over 68,000. Assaults, 48,000. Larceny, over 20,000. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And so these are the excellent DACA folks that the Democrats keep saying are so important for our country, yet you look at the statistics as far as crime, and they are just out of sight.
Or being used for crime. And that's one thing I talk about. I'm tired of hearing about, the abuse of, children coming across the border, you being used in prostitution, people coming in from the Honduras, Nicaragua, I think it's Guatemala. It's 75% of the women coming across the border are raped. So they're coming across with post-traumatic stress. And how are they going to live? Who's caring about them?
Right. Or being used as mules to transport drugs into the country, or
regular people coming across are being raped. 70%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And child trafficking is just absolutely amazing. The numbers that are coming out of, these so-called dreamers.
Yep. The one critical important issue for President Trump during his first 4 years that will either get him elected or he'll go down in flames is immigration and the border. That is the one key issue that the American people elected him on, because they're tired of the deep state and politicians not taking control of the situation and allowing, right now we probably have 16 to 18 million illegals in our country. It's not the 800,000 or the 1.8 million DACA people that the Congress keeps talking about. We have 16 million plus illegal aliens here.
Right.
So what Trump is talking about is just, getting a deal so that he can put together the framework of a comprehensive immigration plan for American citizens, and that's what they elected him on, and he's got to deliver on that one issue.
He's also talking about the same with the border crossing with the drug cartels. And the amount of drugs that are sold, in illegal drugs sold in the United States, there was a report and I saw it ranges from $250 billion to $750 billion a year running through the cartels. That's a huge amount of money, because what they do is they segregate each city, New York, Chicago, L.A., Miami. They break it up, and then they run their drugs through there. and they work with the local drug and gangs, drug cartels and gangs in those areas. So you have a whole slew of things that President Trump is trying to address. MS-13 was the other one he talked about a week and a half ago, rounding them up, throwing them out, you know, getting them out. They're all felons. They've all, their initiation is to kill somebody to get into MS-13. So these are the kind of things. They found, what, in Long Island, 20 bodies there or something of that nature? So these are the kind of things we're looking at on a larger scale about law and order, basic law and order, which is a national security, you know, problem that we don't have in the United States itself. And that's causing a huge drain, like Chuck was saying, on our
Are you still there? We lost you for a second, Bruce.
I don't know what Bruce is at. I'm here.
Okay, well, you go ahead and take it, Chuck, and we'll let Bruce get back on somehow.
Okay. I mean, you know, so right now the Democrats are talking about the 800,000 DACA individuals, and then, you know, there's a million more. Now, the ones who did not sign up, refused, you know, to me, those are the ones that refused to go to court when they're supposed to. They didn't want to be tracked, or they had criminal backgrounds, and so they would be found out. So that's why they didn't sign up. And so, again, you cannot make citizens of these DACA people and their families. I mean, their families are here illegally, and so they shouldn't be granted citizenship or a pass of citizenship. And again, if whatever ones are granted some kind of legal status in the U.S., they should not be given the citizenship for 20 years or so. They should not be allowed to vote, because that's what the Democrats want. That's the only reason why they want it. And so I wrote the border security plan for Trump. And one of the things I wrote and why it's so important that he gets this $25 billion up front is that once he has the money, I designed the border security plan, which is a layered border security plan, use technology and the wall, you know, fiscal barrier. But you can divide that into segments where you can have 100 or even 50 different companies build this wall, and you can have the entire 2,000 southern border sealed within 2 years.
Right, right. Yeah,
I'm
sorry,
I got cut off. So
no problem, Bruce. One of the things that people don't realize, part of the plan for global government in the New World Order is that we erase national borders. So this is not a mistake. This is not a mistake by the Democrats and the Republicans that are part of this progressive movement. They want to eliminate borders, and they want unlimited immigration flow back and forth, because they hate national sovereignty. And that's exactly why they hate Trump, is because he said, America first, we want to protect our national sovereignty. And everything that he's trying to do to protect national sovereignty, they're trying to do the exact opposite.
May I add, individual sovereignty, our rights,
right,
our freedoms, and our liberties under the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration
exactly.
of Independence. That's
exactly.
what they don't abide by. And you can
yeah.
see that's the pushback. Individual sovereignty is the key to each and every one of us having our dignified American lifestyle held in held in the proper order under rule of law. That's why I work on national security, because once you take away individual sovereignty, you're taking away individual property rights, intellectual property rights. You're taking a whole slew of things away from people, and you're letting the government have the larger hand. So it's government overreach, and that's what.
Right. Absolutely, people need to understand that the fight we're in right now is between individualism and collectivism. And
exactly
if
right.
the globalists win, we will have absolutely no rights whatsoever.
Yeah, the Democrats want the U.S., the American citizen, to lose their identity. They don't want us to act as one nation under one constitution, under one God. They want us to lose our identity and be infiltrated by all these different people and their backgrounds and way of life from all over the world, and they want us to bring them in and let them do their own thing here. Well, we don't want that. We want, if they're going to come here, then they need to abide by U.S. law and bring and understand our tradition and what we believe in our Constitution.
And assimilate at the same time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So well, one of the key things that the CBP agents are up against right now is that they cannot detect, pinion, and return people to the through the Mexican border. They have to arrest them, and then they can keep them only a certain amount of time. Then they have to do catch and release. And this is crazy. And so this is one of the things that President Trump wants to do is get rid of the catch and release program so that the CBP agents can arrest them and they immediately return them to Mexico and let Mexico deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you mentioned judicial a lot, and you mentioned, and I see them as being a very, very important organization to try to expose what's been happening with progressives and the things like the FISA warrants, the Freedom of Information Act, the emails from Hillary Clinton, all the things that are being exposed now. I know the Judicial Watch has had a huge part in that process. Chuck, would you tell us, tell our listeners about that?
Yes, absolutely. If it hadn't been for Judicial Watch, we would not have so many programs on record. They go after suit for illegal immigrants voting. They go after the Department of State and others that where they were trying to find an information because of fraud and corruption. And so Judicial Watch is a major organization in Washington, D.C. that goes after the government and government officials, whether it's state, county, or federal government, in order to do what they should be doing as far as abiding by the law and supporting the Constitution. And so Judicial Watch is a key player in the D.C. area that will help the American citizen.
Well, and I think our listeners need to know that they can support Judicial Watch just if they go on the Internet and just go to judicialwatch.org. I believe they've got ways on that website that you can actually support them through donations or doing whatever. But I have been very familiar with that organization for a very long time, and literally for the last 25 years, I've seen them do amazing things in Washington, D.C. to expose the deep state.
Yep, and immigration is one of their major issues. And next week, CPAC will be in at the Gaylord National Hotel in Washington, D.C. area on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so Tom Fitton will be speaking at CPAC along with President Trump and a lot of the conservatives that are really pushing for a change of the deep state.
Good, good. Well, we're almost out of time. I want to give you guys a last chance, just a minute, to talk about what you see that our listeners can do, how we can help, how we can be part of the solution and not just listen to the problem.
Okay, Bruce, you want to go first?
Sure. You definitely have to write and email your congressman and your senator and tell them your viewpoint, and don't give in. Keep make it an unrelenting avenue, because we can't afford to have our country go the other way. We're at the tipping point. If President Trump wasn't elected, we would have gone the other way. So there's nothing left but for us to, you know, voice our opinions and stand up and be counted and elect people in your district and in your states that represent these ideas, these principles of the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers, our history, our beloved country. This is who we are, what we stand for, and what we believe in. And this is how we will stand and fight together. If we're divided, we won't.
Yeah, I would just say that each citizen has a voice. They should use it. They should not sit back and let the deep state and the politicians tell them what to do. They have to be proactive. They've got to tell President Trump that they want him to be firm on the wall and the illegal immigration and, you know, making jobs and, you know, putting America first. So, you know, he needs to hear from you. The politicians need to hear from you. Support organizations like Americans for Tax Reform, Heritage, Judicial Watch, and many others that will stand up and help fight for you. And listen to programs like this so you're well-educated.
Good. Well, I appreciate the conversation, gentlemen. I know our listeners appreciate hearing an update on this. We would love to have you back again sometime in the very near future. And so I hope that's a possibility. And with that, thank you, gentlemen. And Kelby, I turn the broadcast back over to you. And I thank our listeners and ask you to return next week and help us to connect the dots.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's show with Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. God bless. Good night. We'll see you next Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific.